You're a rich girl and you're gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. You can rely on the old man's money. You can rely on the old man's money. It's a bitch, girl, but it's gone too far, 'cause you know it don't matter anyway. Say money, money won't get you too far, get you too far.
What is up, y'all? Welcome back. Welcome if you're just joining us. I don't know about you, but I don't have any rich man's money. I don't got no sugar daddy. It's just me and you having great conversations. I'm joined this half hour and for a little extra by Dan Schaefer, our political editor here at Civic Media. We were talking about the Race Forward conference I attended last week and really, like, how folks that work in the racial justice space and are concerned with the fact that our country made mistakes, that we created policies that made it harder for Black and brown folks to compete on equal footing. And what do we do now about those mistakes? It's an interesting moment in the post-Trump election world. And Dan, I was pointing out that there were two themes that came at least to the fore for me from the conference. And the first one was, hey, if we talk about fixing mistakes and doing better by everyone and making sure that everyone has the opportunity to fulfill their American dream, and that we talk about things like corruption in government, that we are really clear about what money in politics does, what conflicts of interest do. And those things don't harm just Black and brown folks, but they harm all working people. Now, Black and brown folks, they get it the worst at the tip of the spear, as does any community that hasn't traditionally had their hands on the reins of power and economic might in this country. So that was the first thing. And the second thing was, let's not overdo the emphasis on Trump's victory. It was extremely narrow. We know that gerrymandering has been expertly executed in this country over the last decade plus, and that there is a pathway forward. And again, it's to center working people and what is fair for working people, and that focus will help us continue to address and redress the mistakes that our country has made and policies specifically designed to ensure that white folks got more ahead than Black folks did. And that legacy is well documented. Dan, I thought we could just round out this conversation. And then I wanted to ask you a bit about what Robin Voss has had to say about the new values and priorities for this next budget cycle.
Yeah, I guess, you know, it was so interesting to be there at that type of conference in this particular moment, right? And I think everybody is trying to, you know, understand the best path forward to address issues like racial justice in a second Trump term. But as you were having conversations with people there, you know, was there anything you learned that maybe surprised you, that maybe you weren't expecting people to say in this particular moment?
I was surprised by the level of energy and enthusiasm. I thought it was going to be morose. And there were certainly...
You thought it was going to have a little funeral vibe to it?
Yes. And it wasn't. I'll just share this moment with you because it was so amazing. They basically had some folks that came out and spoke before the keynote address by Joy Reid. And the last... group to address this general plenary, all the conference attendees, wasn't a speaker. It was a musical act. And they played a bunch of numbers. And I forget what the last one was, but it was an old R&B classic hit. They did a music, like an instrumental version of it. And I think it was like Come Together or whatever it was. And legitimately, here was the moment that surprised me the most. About 2,500 people got up out of their chairs in this massive auditorium and started to do the electric slide together. And people were like hugging and celebrating being together. And the joy and the commitment and the energy to do the work despite the obstacles, despite the way that our political dialogue has degraded into a lot of us and them thinking. It was clear that the people in that room viewed this as us from a really big tent party perspective and were excited to be together and to recommit to this work and to think about how to make the work of racial justice not just about racial justice, but to connect the dots between what racial justice means and what economic justice and economic fairness means to every single working person in the United States. And that, to me, was a surprising and joyful and together moment.
Well, that's great. I think it, you know, we can all be resigned to despair in a difficult time like this, but I think it's great that there's still some joy, still some optimism, and people coming together and finding a common cause to get together on. I think that's great.
And one thing, and it's interesting because this dovetails and it sets up a bit about what I wanted to talk with you about Robin Voss's recent comments, is one area that people talked about a lot was public education and the fact that all of us believe that you should be able to send your child to your local public school or a public school in your district and feel very confident that they're going to get a top-notch education, that we want to see educational attainment outcomes reducing disparities. We want to see all of our students here in the state of Wisconsin and well beyond doing better and succeeding, and that we face a public school funding crisis in this country. It's not just in Wisconsin, though it is more acute in other places. And I thought this was a really interesting moment because Robin Voss had some specific things to say about budget priorities as well as educational funding. And I wanted to talk to you about that, especially on the heels of the Wisconsin Policy Forum's analysis of the overall tax burden that Wisconsinites face. We used to be a high tax state. We're now in the bottom like 15 tax states while our state government continues to sit on a massive surplus of billions of dollars. And yet everywhere from Ashland right to Ashwaubenon, from Waukesha to Wausau, Wisconsin Dells, from the Door Peninsula to Southwest Wisconsin and Richland Center, all of our public schools are hurting. So Dan, let's take a listen. Cardi, we're going to go ahead and if you don't mind, Dan, let's take the budget priorities sound first. This is going to be cut three. And then I want to listen immediately to cut two as well. This is, again, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, who hasn't been to work since February. They've been out of session since February. Let's see what Robin Voss is articulating as some of the Republicans' budget priorities.
As well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
We're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I can tell you that's probably not going to happen. I think it's unlikely that we're going to give Superintendent Underley's request for this massive increase in education spending when we just gave the largest increase in a generation like 18 months ago. So that is nothing but a political document.
And let's take a listen also to the budget priorities. This is cut three, Cardi.
As well. In your mind, from what you have seen so far, what is dead on arrival?
So, we're not going to give $1 billion to the university. I think it's unlikely. Absolutely not. It's the opposite. There are some parts of Wisconsin where people want to spend more money and they have every right to do that. If they want to raise their taxes at the ballot box, I support that idea. The idea that we're going to do it for them and take the burden on for every single district if it was the same, that's just wrong for the state.
The governor.
So a lot to unpack there. What I heard from Speaker Voss was, we're not going to give more money to the University of Wisconsin system, which used to be the crown jewel and the thing that every Wisconsinite was very, very proud of. Second, we're not going to reinvest in a major way. We're not going to increase our spending in education writ large. We're going to turn down the Superintendent of Education's requested budget. And we're not going to look at increasing education spending overall. We're going to force local jurisdictions to go to referendum to appropriately fund their public schools. Are those the three main takeaways? What else am I missing, Dan? And what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I think it is, you know, it's a really interesting interview that Robin Voss had on Upfront over the weekend. You know, he was so quiet for so much of the year, wasn't he? Like as the campaigns were going on, perhaps he knows he's a deeply unpopular figure on a statewide level as assembly speaker. But, you know, I think this is an interesting preview of what's ahead. And I think you have the classic argument in the state of Wisconsin, which, well, should we increase funding for things like education, things like healthcare, or should we cut taxes? And I think you mentioned that Wisconsin Policy Forum document that was released showing that Wisconsin's has significantly decreased the tax burden on individuals, but I think it has also hollowed out the public sector in so many ways, and it has cut education funding. And we just saw, you know, what was it? You know, how many different, like you mentioned, how many different referenda across the state were passed in this election to fund education at the same time that we have this $4 billion budget surplus. And I always think it's interesting when Robin Voss talks about this in terms of we, and he's saying we in terms of we as the Republican leadership in the state assembly, not we as the people of Wisconsin who want greater funding for our schools.
Yeah. And one of the things that consistently bugs me about politics writ large, but especially where I think a lot of the policy debates have devolved to, is the presentation of things as a false choice. You can, Robin Voss talks about this like, oh, well, you know, you dummies in your local government, you can go, you know, raise taxes and do that crazy stuff, but we're done doing it. And your choice is just assume that your educational system is fine, or you're these out of control, big tax and spend Democrats. That's not reality. Right. The reality is when he talks about like a once in a generation investment in education, it's because you, Robin Voss, and the GOP in the state of Wisconsin executed a decade plus long once in a generation defunding of public education while overseeing the use of middle class taxpayer dollars to fund private education for increasingly well-to-do families and religiously based education, whatever the merits may be. So it's completely disingenuous and a false choice to say we can either have out of control taxation or you can have maybe an okay public. No, you can do both. And I don't have a problem with reducing taxes on the middle class. I have a problem with reducing taxes on people like Tim Michaels, whose business is worth $3.6 billion. I have a problem reducing taxes for Ron Johnson when our public education systems have been starved over during Robin Voss's leadership of, frankly, Wisconsin politics for 15 years. That's actually where we're at. And it's, you know, in a rural community, when Robin Voss says, go to a referendum to fund your schools, he's telling rural working people in this state to go kick rocks, that your students, that your children don't matter so much. And the reason that that is true, in my opinion, Dan, is that school systems like Milwaukee's are big and can absorb and at least handle some of those budgetary reductions in the short term. Over the long term, it decimates the school system. But unlike those big school systems, rural school systems can't bear that. It has an immediate deleterious negative impact on the quality of education. It's just wrong on all fronts. Like, we can have great public schools, we can fund them, we can invest in the technology that they need, and we can make sure that taxpayer dollars aren't being wasted.
Yeah, and we shouldn't be accepting worse outcomes just to give the U-Lines another tax break, to give Diane Hendricks another tax break. We can and should do both. We can and should do better for the students of Wisconsin. So I think education is going to be a real flashpoint in the budget next year. As Robin Voss, you know, emerges from his campaign year hibernation, he gets back to, you know, talking about these budget priorities. We're going to have a pretty difficult fight, but much closer margins. So it'll be interesting to see if there are some swing votes, perhaps, in the Assembly and Senate in the year ahead as well.
Watch this space. Education in Wisconsin matters. It matters to each and every one of us. Thanks to Dan Schaefer, our political editor. I'll come back with some final thoughts on this Tuesday edition of the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked.